Another golden oldie. Reliability.
Thank you, Hans. Yes. You say it's a golden oldie in the sense that it was controversial in the development of the 2010 chapters, and I think the fact that we've got it on our agenda is demonstration that it remains controversial today. Just to recap, the old framework, which was published in 1989, and because I was around in 1989, I still have a copy of it, did include reliability as one of its four principal cognitive characteristics. It said it encompassed freedom from error and bias, faithful representation, we'll come back to that, I suspect, substantive form, neutrality, prudence, and completeness. And importantly, for the purpose of this discussion, it acknowledged the need to balance the various qualitative characteristics, noting that they may sometimes pull you in different directions, and that the craft of standard setting is to exercise professional judgment in finding the best solution in particular case. In the chapters that were finalised in 2010, reliability has disappeared. Its place has been taken by the elevation of the concept of faithful present representation, and that's said to include completeness, neutrality, and freedom from error. And verifiability is also noted as an enhancing characteristic. Just as an aside, I'm not totally convinced by the discussion on verifiability, but that's a sort of second order issue, so I won't say any more about that. When we look at how faithful representation is described, then I reach some fairly surprising conclusions, or conclusions that surprise me, and talking about it in recent weeks, I've begun even more to wonder whether it's just my reading, and maybe the problem is that the wording doesn't actually reflect what was intended, perhaps even at the time, I don't know, but as I read it, what the framework says is that to get a faithful representation, you will get there if you use an appropriate process, you describe the estimate and any uncertainties. And those uncertainties may be pretty significant. And of course, we'd all agree that is the case of many things that we would have reported, even though measurement is really very tricky. In suggesting how one normally approaches the deciding or prioritizing the characteristics, there's a paragraph that says, well, first of all, you identify what is most relevant, and then you ask, can it be faithfully represented? Now, given that description of faithful representation, it would seem that almost anything can be faithfully represented. If you give enough disclosure around it, then that representation will be faithful. The framework gives the example of an asset that's acquired at a cost of nil, perhaps as a donation or a government grant, and says, well, reporting it at nil would faithfully represent the cost of the asset, although it wouldn't be terribly relevant. So because the framework directs the IESB to consider first what is relevant, and then whether it can be faithfully represented. And if I'm right in suggesting that virtually anything can, it follows that one will always report the most relevant information and all other characteristics, especially of reliability and so on, will fall away. So that really is the question. Have we moved away from a position where there used to be a balance between the two to one where relevance trumps everything? And of course, sometimes, of course, it will. Again, I repeat what I said at the start of the discussion on stewardship. All of this is about a set of ideas that will need to be balanced. I don't think anybody would suggest that reliability is the most important consideration, that it should override everything else. Now, the bulletin discusses two views. I think view one is the view that, well, that is implicit in the current framework, that really the 2010 revisions were simply trying to say what was always been understood to be the case, but just to say it a bit more clearly and perhaps a bit more completely. There is no need for an explicit trade-off. You can get reliability if you make enough disclosure. So supplementing the numbers in the financial statements with footnotes that explain the uncertainties, the process, etc., will always be sufficient. The other view is that, yes, we did used to have an explicit trade-off. That has now gone, and reliability has therefore been downgraded and should not be taken to be simply a matter of disclosure. The tentative views in the bulletin are summarised on slide, whatever it is, 7, I guess, possibly, which is that the, and this is the, in this case, it's the unanimous view of all 5 of the partners, and that there used to be an explicit trade-off. There has been a change. Reliability is now secured through disclosure. That is not always adequate, because reliability is as important as relevance, and disclosure will not always be an adequate compensation, and therefore that should be, reliability should be reinstated as a fundamental characteristic. Now, we didn't wait for the discussion paper to appear before we published the bulletin. Perhaps we should have done, but we didn't. So perhaps we should just update that by looking at some relevant parts on the discussion paper, and Peter, I'm sure, will wish to amplify and correct what I say on this, but I couldn't resist pulling out as a quotation from the discussion paper. When it gets into recognition criteria, it says, well, we can't use reliability because we've taken it out, which struck me as being an interesting line of argument. What it does, though, is to say, and they're cast in slightly negative terms, because the basic point is you recognise all assets and liabilities, with an exception where recognising it does not give relevant information. And there's also a possible second thought, which is, or if no measure is representationally faithful. And some people think that, rather consistent with the views I was giving a moment ago on faithful representation, that it's always possible to give a faithful representation. So there's a question mark on that. But I think the key principle is relevance, and personally I'm very comfortable with that being the key consideration for recognition, provided it's supplemented with guidance that identifies what make information potentially not relevant. And a couple of the things that are in the discussion paper is that the item might be subject to a huge range of possible outcomes, or there might be a low probability of inflow or outflow. Perhaps that takes care of our famous lawsuit that you've got a 30% chance of losing, which has been discussed in this room more than once before, and of which people hold quite strong views. So on my last slide, I've attempted to identify some questions to consider. I think that over the next year or so, we need to decide whether we like the way the discussion paper is going, whether that's adequate, whether we want reliability back in, as the bulletin suggests, as a specific qualitative characteristic. And I suppose I can't resist just adding one final thought, which is that one of the key arguments against reliability is that it's a bit of a vague term and people attach different meanings to it. I've never been particularly persuaded by that. It strikes me that a lot of the ideas that are in the framework are necessarily somewhat abstract terms, they're somewhat imprecise, and I'm not certain, or it's not clear to me, that reliability is any more ambiguous than any of the others.
Just to state that the unanimous view of the 5 partners is unanimously supported by our consultative stand, forum of standard status. So it's really a European view.
Sorry, what was the unanimous view?
The tentative view that is presented on slide 7.
Ken's going to ask a question.
Yeah, sure.
Andrew, what's the difference between the definition of faithful representation in the framework and your definition of reliability?
Can I come back to you on that, Stephen? I mean,
but isn't that fundamental to this debate?
Well, I'm not sure at the moment faithful representation has much to do with reliability. Let me give you an example of how probably the tension between the two was applied before. I mean, although it may not have been in these terms, I mean, derivatives. You can't always very reliably measure a derivative, especially when it gets to level 3. But a derivative is so important that relevance trumps reliability. And if you've got a level 3 derivative, you might well say, well, our best shot of estimate of the value is this, but you'd have some disclosure about possibly the range. Another example would be intangible assets arising on acquisition. I think there the decision was taken that almost banned reliability from being an objection to measure them. And so we now have a bundle of intangible assets arising on acquisition, a number of which are reliable and are basically ignored by users. And I think you've had a lot of feedback already on that issue. So I think being able to compare relevance reliability and having those as a tension will tend to take you in different directions depending on just what you're looking at.
But in the current conceptual framework, if there are two fundamental qualitative characteristics, which are faithful representation and relevance, then they also necessarily compete with each other. And I think if you look at our standards, it's very clear that they do.
But there's no.
So why is there no?
But there's no concept of reliability in faithful representation.
Well.
So what's the difference? I don't understand the difference.
It's a number which. What's the definition of reliability?
That's what I'm asking.
Yeah, it's a number that can be supported. That doesn't have a very wide range.
Well, but
of potential values.
The example you just used of derivatives, I think you could state, well, we have a real issue there, a challenge in faithfully representing the value of a derivative because it's all murky model level 3. Yet. It would clearly be irresponsible not to make an effort and put it on the balance sheet.
Just what I said. Yeah.
So I really don't see the big difference with reliability. To be able to faithfully represent the value of an asset or reliability, I mean, it's the same thing.
Well, as I say, those standards were developed under the old conceptual framework, and clearly there, relevance trumps reliability, even if you can't very reliably measure a number, very, very relevant.
I don't like that word trumps, and you use it a lot. I've been touring with Roger, talking about this, so we've had this debate. I think reliability is a part of relevance, and when you're thinking about relevance, you have to think at the same time about reliability and the alternatives. And I don't actually buy this argument about you get over it by disclosures. I mean, that's a help, but it doesn't fix the problem. The real problem in the examples you give is what else do you do? Do you take up nothing? Or do you take up the figure you've got? And it all comes back, I think, to relevance, and that reliability is very much a part of it. Ross?
Yeah, I was just going to acknowledge the point Ian just made. When I went back to the conceptual framework, Con 2, and then throughout the changes that were made to Con 8, and I talked to people that were on the board during the debate while Cantu was there versus Connie. What I found was that the trade-off between reliability and relevant was sometimes not helpful. Some people felt that a number that was reliable but not relevant, reliability could trump relevance and make you require it. And what they in essence say is that wasn't helpful. So the improvement that was made in Con 8 really talks about what you just said, that relevance decreases as uncertainty or the lack of reliability. So there's a trade-off within relevance, and reliability is included within relevance. That's the way we think about it in looking at Con 8.
Yeah, just to follow up on that, I mean, I wanted to mention that as well, because QC16 talks about that notion, really. It's in the discussion of faithful representation, but it's quite a long paragraph, but towards the end it says, however, if the level of uncertainty in such an estimate is sufficiently large, that estimate will not be particularly useful. In other words, the relevance of the asset being faithfully represented is questionable. So I think that discussion is, in the framework now, more under the heading of relevance than as an opposition between relevance and some other characteristic.
Kevin?
Yeah, I think we need to also go back to the problem that was trying to be solved when we moved to faithful representation. And in the era before that, particularly in the debates about fair value and financial instruments, you had this confusion between the idea that reliability had something to do with the ultimate outcome of a transaction, as opposed to a description of the circumstance that existed when you were reporting. And it was said, and I think it's actually documented in the EFRAG bulletin, that, you know, that ultimate outcome idea was not what reliability ever meant. But the fact that the word was used did tend to encourage people to misread reliability and be thinking about ultimate outcomes. So if the fair value today is 100, but when you settle the transaction it's 80, they might, in their mind, you know, that first number was unreliable because they're thinking about ultimate outcome. Whereas we meant, if you could see evidence of that number at that time, that was reliable information about a current situation. It was not a predicator of outcome. And I'd have to say, I think the bulletin falls into a bit of an error in its use of reliability as it goes. Even though it acknowledges that point, I think some of the language in the bulletin is still starting to think about ultimate outcomes. So, I mean, that was a problem. We knew we had to fix it, and I think going to faithful representation was a nice, clean way of doing that. And very much what Peter and Russ just said about reliability, and Ian said, is a sort of an essence of relevance, makes a lot of sense to me.
Well, I'm a bit confused by this, where does the old term reliability fall under? Is it relevance or faithful representation? Intuitively, I would think it is more closely connected to the ability to faithfully represent an asset or a liability than the relevance.
Mm-hmm. But except in relevance, if a figure is so unreliable that it doesn't really mean anything,
yeah, but
then it won't give you relevant information.
So that's because you, for example, the intangibles of a company, which can be extremely relevant to investors, we cannot faithfully represent them, and they can disappear overnight almost, so we decide not to recognize them. So there I would say the inability to faithfully represent these intangibles trumps their relevance, and therefore we do not recognize. So I wouldn't see reliability as it's part of the total of the decision tree, but I wouldn't put it under relevance. I would put it under faithful representation.
But I think if you make the dichotomy that I did between whether the present is a predicator of the future, that's one argument. But what I was hearing Russ and Peter say was that in determining a particular number, if it's a high degree of estimation in that, then the relevance of the information to you is decreased.
Yes.
Yeah. To different dimensions. And I think highlights why reliability is not a great word.
Go that way as well.
That's right.
Just to follow up on Kevin's point there, we had a member of our user advisory group in this very room about 5 or 6 weeks ago. We were discussing this, and they said they described reliability in exactly the terms Kevin just mentioned of a current value today might be reliable, or you might be able to get the current value today, but it's not reliable because the ultimate outcome will be different. So I think that possible confusion does still exist out there. Yeah.
Sorry, Françoise.
I just wanted to draw the attention to this debate of how things move on and develop, and we should not forget that. You know, it may be a detail, but I think people can see some significance in details. And when the decision was made in IFRS 3 to eliminate the reliability exception, so you would recognize intangible assets even if they cannot be measured reliably, that gave a certain signal. So when you change, and to respond to Stephen, when you look at how faithful representation is described and you try to compare with reliability in the former framework, I mean, it's extremely difficult to answer your question, except that you would see other than mechanically. So it's very difficult to see really what has changed. But so if you put yourself in the shoes of the constituents that try to understand where the board is going, what kind of accounting standards are going to emerge from this revision of the conceptual framework, there is a change that is explained as a clarification, but it's extremely difficult to see where it goes to. And then you have the same board that decides to eliminate measurement, reliability measurement exemption in IFRS 3. Then things are linked together. Mm-hmm. And that's where, in fact, this had prepared everyone to see in the discussion paper on the conceptual framework that the reliability recognition criterion would be eliminated. And it's been a good surprise, in fact, to see that it was not the case. So a lot of what is the same for stewardship, by the way. What we have in section 6 on measurement that was mentioned earlier was a good surprise considering what had been discussed before. So, you know, if there is a change, then the change must be explained. And I'm not sure that everybody had the definition that reliability was describing or featuring the outcomes. Reliability is also a question of representing the entity for what it is, and faithful representation can be interpreted as being, I give you a representation that we have agreed is the representation, even if it is not, for example, the entity-specific perspective that is current today. So it was also understood by some people as being a basis for representing things differently from what they are.
Kim?
Thanks, Hans. Yeah, I must say that for me, I really like the concept of faithful representation. I think that a concern, and I think it's been mentioned already this morning, that sometimes some preparers are of the view that because there is some estimation involved and that the final number could be different, they then, may err on the side of not wanting to show it, account for it, etc., because it's not an exact number, which I certainly don't support and don't think that can result in fair presentation. So for me, the question would be is making sure the financial statements reflect what is relevant for decision useful purposes, and then deciding, well, what is the best way to address that? And yes, if you've got significant estimation uncertainty, maybe there won't be recognition on the statement of financial position, but there would be disclosures, etc. I think the concern around just saying, well, if it is reliable, it needs to be disclosed. The question I think should be, is it relevant in the first instance? That I think should be the starting point. And then dealing with how to best reflect that information. So for me, I really wasn't concerned about the discussion paper on this aspect. And to me, I think faithful representation is a much better description of what we're trying to achieve.
Well, we're certainly not in favour of unfaithful representation. Equal.
Thank you. I think this was one of the most important changes in 2010 amendment. So it is quite difficult for change again in a limited discussion. So what we think is like this. In arriving at useful information, relevance and faithful representation should be considered in total. So in other words, standard setters need to find the right balance of the two qualitative characteristics. So also having considered the cost-benefit analysis. In doing so, depending on situation, not always, there is a trade-off relationship between relevance and faithful representation. Some suggest that such a relationship is not clearly described in the existing conceptual framework, which impedes the understanding of the relationship among stakeholders. So it might be helpful to clarify what is meant by paragraph QC18 of the existing conceptual framework. We believe that QC18 mentioned that there is a trade-off relationship. So in clarifying the effect, ISB may want to consider adding explanation in the basis for conclusion.
Again, helpful equal. Anna?
Yes. We as a standard setter, when we read the conceptual framework and the balloting, we understood that reliability had been moved away. So we thought it introduced uncertainty, and which is not desirable. Now, when I hear you, I see that reliability is still in there. We don't know if it's in a faithful representation or relevance. So right now, I don't know if there has been a change, because it seems that it's still in there in the conceptual framework. And I agree with Françoise that if there has been a change, maybe it should be explained in a more clearer way, because as a standard setter, if we have to amend something in our any issue in our conceptual framework, we have to know why, what is the change exactly, and why it has been introduced.
The discussion paper was not meant to be comprehensive and was not meant to give us an extremely clear view of what the full comprehensive framework will look like in the end. We were probably not supposed to, but not necessarily not encouraged to discuss the chapters 1 and 3 we are discussing now. And I guess if we all then in our comment letters to the discussion paper give you some idea what our expectations for the ED and the final framework are, that's the best contribution we can do. And if this encouragement, what we would like to see in a full comprehensive text, is more than you've asked for, so be it. And I guess the best we can do is really make sure that we convey that message. And obviously, if there are differing views on those pieces, we'd better make sure we convey whatever we want there.
Yeah, and I think that's particularly important. I mean, in a way, I'd like to re-ask Steve's question another way, which is the people who suggested that we should put back put reliability back in. I'm not quite sure what we're being asked to put back in. Is it what was in there before, or is it something else? So I think it's extremely important that you tell us in your comment letters, if you do suggest it, what you're suggesting.
We only have one more round with the ED, I guess, and we better make it clear what we want or what we expect.
China?
Yeah. Thank you. Generally, we agree with this the view that's proposed in the paper. In our view, reliability is a very important characteristic of the financial reporting, not only for the recognition but also for the measurement. We think that reliability should be one of the recognition criteria, and it also plays an important role when we are choosing the measurement basis, especially for countries like China, as we are still an emerging economy. Reliability is very important for the financial reporting. This is the first point. Another one is that in China, we have accounting law, which and the accounting standard should comply with the accounting law. In accounting law, we require that in accounting information should be true and complete. I think this requirement reflects, we believe that this requirement reflects the reliability. In theory, a faithful representation is true, is correct. But my personal view is that maybe faithful representative is less pragmatic than reliability. So, if possible, we would suggest that reintroduce reliability as the fundamental characteristic. Thank you.
Roger.
Well, I agree with the China view, and just also I agree with Anna and Francois. I think what we're hearing is that reliability is not necessarily gone from the thinking behind the conceptual framework.
One of your supporters there.
It's obviously not. It's not clear where it lives now, because there was even a debate about whether it is in faith representation or is it in relevance. So I do feel it should be reinserted, and it should be quite clear what it means. And I understand the Australian view that it could, you know, that there could be some historical baggage with this, but if we define just what we mean and make it clear which bit of the conceptual framework it lives in, whether it's faith of representation or whether it's relevance, then I think it would be very helpful.
But that would differ a bit from slide 7, wouldn't it? Which says, first of all, it's now just a matter of disclosure, which I think is quite a challengeable statement. Secondly, it's always as important as relevance, whereas I'd see it as part of relevance. And
or faith representation.
Yeah, sure. And then the third one says it should be reinstated as a fundamental characteristic, which is slightly different from what you just said.
But we'll see how far we can go with the great restoration that is going on. Conceptual framework. Any other comments? We're a bit ahead of schedule, I see. I forgot a break. We can have a break now. Or should we? We were supposed to finish this discussion at 1 o'clock. What shall we do? Short break? And then continue with liabilities at 12:15? What do you think? Excuse me?
Change
this.
But the problem is, I have the old. No, I think you're right. These two are being swapped. Liabilities.
I was getting which one.
But we did change you on an hour and a half.
Yeah.
So that would take us through to nearly 2 o'clock.
Yeah. Well, we can break down. So, shall we have lunch now?
Yeah.
Okay. Hungry. Okay. Let's reconvene at 1 o'clock then.